comfortable here for our next episode of the podcast. Hey, everyone, this is Nick.
Hey, it's Rob.
Hey, everyone. It's good you're here, especially because Rob was making me uncomfortable just 2 seconds ago.
He liked it.
Don't
let him fool you.
It was very uncomfortable. Hey, we're into our next episode. We got 2 episodes to cover today. We have
Battle Lines and Storyteller.
Battle Lines and Storyteller. We got some stuff to cover. We do. 2 more good episodes today, I would say.
Okay.
But Rob and I were having a discussion before this podcast that we need a segment.
Yeah, something that we could talk about, even random stuff.
I don't know.
Something that really reel
Let's
our
talk
listener
about the
in.
Weather.
What's
no,
weather?
That's not going to do it.
No, not the weather.
Should we talk about cross stitching?
I have no.
No?
No.
Okay. Quilting?
Quilting? No.
I don't know. We need a good topic.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Well, I don't know. We need a topic.
What topic?
You have topic ideas, people? You send us topic ideas.
There we go. Can they send us stuff?
They can. Sure. They could email it to. They could send us comments, right?
Okay.
I think they can. Why not?
We'll have to check that.
I don't know.
Well, let's start a Facebook page.
Ooh. No one uses Facebook anymore, do they?
I put pictures of my kids on there.
Yeah, but that's what old people do.
I'm old.
You are, but the young...
I got you by like 30 years, right?
The youngin', yeah, exactly. The youngins, they're all about that TikTok.
Gotta get that gram, dog.
I do love the TikTok. I'm not
like
going to lie to you.
I hate TikTok.
Okay, half of the funny videos I send you are from TikTok.
Well, so here's the thing, though. If you go... So the one time I went on TikTok and then immediately deleted the app, it was all like dancing underage girls. No, thanks.
That's not your thing.
No.
But see, if you stay in there long enough and you start liking certain things, it feeds you certain things.
Yeah, I'm good.
So the fact that when you went into TikTok, it fed you underage girls concerns me.
Well, I didn't even do anything yet.
Maybe it looked at your other browsing history.
None of that's on there.
And I don't feel like I should be a part of this.
Yeah.
But, which is interesting, because we do have an underage girl in this episode today. Second episode today.
Yeah.
That's
a really weird segue.
That's a really weird segue, but there is a younger girl who's the leader of the people. So, yeah. Hey, you know, that's a good point.
True.
But anyways, we need a segment. We got to figure this out.
Yeah,
we need something.
We'll figure it out.
Because, you know, people just don't come here for Star Trek. They come here for our opinions on... The
life.
World on
yeah.
life.
In life, yeah.
In life, yeah.
People, yeah. Person.
We're the people, person,
yeah.
Paper people from Dunder Mifflin.
From Dunder, what?
And they had a song on there.
We're an office podcast now?
Yeah, we are.
All right.
Yeah, the office ladies.
Oh, nice.
Hey, lady.
Hey, girl.
Hey, the whole episode, they call each other ladies. Hey, lady.
Oh, no, because they're
What's
office
up,
ladies.
Lady?
I got
office
you.
Ladies, right?
I got you. I listened to a few of those,
yeah.
but then Scrubs came along and...
Changed your world.
Yeah, I didn't do anything after Fake Doctor's Real Friends.
I get that.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Fair enough.
It makes sense. Apparently I just got a text from my wife. I've kept you up to date on, well, last week we talked about the Lord of the Rings fascination for my son.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has sent me a text message just recently that said, as soon as I'm done with this podcast today, I have to be home because Eli has the next 10 hours planned for Lord of the Rings.
Good Lord.
They have gotten the candy, they've gotten the popcorn, they've gotten all the stuff. It's set up.
You had me at candy.
It's waiting
I'm in.
For me. Yeah. So I get to watch 2 more Lord of the Rings movies tonight.
Wow.
The Two Towers and Return of the
and
King.
And that's your day.
That is my day, because that's going to be 8.5 hours.
Wow. Hope you have a 9 drink, too.
I plan on it.
Get some sauce.
I plan on it. Some bourbon. I like
Ooh.
A good bourbon.
I like anything.
I like a good bourbon. You know what I want, though? Is like, you know, you see those big ice... ball things for whiskey and bourbon.
Yes.
I need one of those to make one of those.
I have a friend that has that.
Yeah.
That. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite?
He doesn't listen to this, though.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite liquor?
Probably not in the long run. I'll drink anything.
Yeah.
Anything that's put in front of me.
Yeah.
I don't really drink that often, but when I do, I don't really have a favorite, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Or like, not necessarily a brand, but just I prefer whiskey to bourbon to vodka to brandy.
I think if I go to a bar and I order anything, it's usually just a Captain and Coke.
Captain and Coke?
Yeah.
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 Whiskey on the rocks.
Yeah.
For me. That's what I order.
Okay.
I like a little bit of ice in there.
I'm not a big beer drinker. I'd rather have my liquor.
As I've gotten older, I've moved away from beers. For a while there, I was getting into the craft beer phase. I did actually brew my own beer for a hot minute there, which was a lot of fun.
Speaking of dorks.
Craft brew people.
We were talking last episode about the scale of dorks. That person's on there somewhere.
What, the beer brewer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wore a lot of flannel.
Yeah, they might be on
always
the cool
complained
end of it,
about. But, yeah. Yeah, always complained about the big name beers. You
okay.
Know?
No, Budweiser.
Yeah. You'll have to try this beer. It tastes like banana.
Oh, my Lord.
Banana and sawdust. It's
so amazing.
I've never
wanted to punch you so much as I do right now.
Yeah, there's some people who like some interesting beers out
yeah.
there. I'm the older I get, the less I need it. Or not need it. That's not the right word. But the less I want beer.
Yeah, right.
I'm just... I've actually never been a big drinker anyways.
I was when I was... Before I was legal, I was.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think I had my first drink until I was later in college.
15.
Oh, yeah. Not me. I waited a while. I didn't, like, see... Like, even thinking about it in my house, like, I know some people will say, you know, my dad would always have a beer at dinner or something like that. Like, my dad never... I never, ever... And I'm dead serious. I don't ever recall seeing any alcohol in my fridge or in my house.
I can guarantee for those who are in the Detroit area.
Yeah.
Rasheed Wallace. I can guarantee my parents never drank.
Yeah.
At least in my lifetime.
In your lifetime. So never, just not in your presence, but not in your lifetime.
Well, they're very conservative Pentecostal.
Okay.
And he's a Pentecostal preacher. Backstory.
Yeah.
And drinking is the devil, man.
Okay. All right. So I don't think my parents never had anything against it. I know my mom has a harder time with it. She, like, it makes her sick after a while. My dad just never was, except for when we went to parties or when we went to weddings, and then the dude was the man with the tie on his head dancing.
That's me when I drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was never a big deal in my house. It was never... Modeled is such a weird word for it, but, like, it was just nothing that I... It was never taboo, but it was never something that was important. You know, like there's some homes where they're like, don't you ever drink. It's bad. And then that person goes off the rails with drinking, right?
Right.
They were told so. Never had that conversation in my house.
Yeah, you know,
never
think,
was a big deal.
You know what's funny is I don't think we ever really had the conversation. It's just implied that, you know, especially because I went to parochial schools as well.
Yeah.
That a couple of them. You just don't drink because that's the devil's juice.
Right.
Or whatever you want to call
right.
it. And
candy
is
candy, but
as far
liquor
as my parents
sticker.
Are just, they never really mentioned it because they assumed I'd do the right thing.
Yeah. You turned out okay.
I did. It took a minute. I could have been much worse than I was.
You could have been.
Much worse.
Yeah. But it is interesting how that works out, how often we kind of go against the advice of our parents when they tell us not to do something.
You got to make your own mistakes. You really do.
There is a lot of truth to that. But I, like I said... A lot of things my parents never made a big deal about. We never talked about it. And because of that, it was never a taboo thing. So it was never anything I got way into, right? Like,
sure.
It was never... I was a pretty good kid, though. I was not causing trouble.
My brothers were so good that by the time I rolled around, maybe they just assumed I'd be just as good.
Yeah.
Not so much.
They had mailed it in on you at that
point,
they really
right?
did. They're like, ah, he's going to be all right. Yeah. Like, I've done this multiple times.
And close enough.
Well, and I was the youngest in my family, too. So I think I was kind of like... not paid attention to, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I just kind of like, well, he's learning from his sisters, and then by your third kid you've probably got it all figured, the parenting thing, like I don't really, you know, like your first child you're super attentive to, second child you're still kind of there for, third one is just kind of like
I was the third one too.
Yeah So I think that's part of it, being the
they're just oh, we're so sick of these little things.
Yeah, like I never had curfews growing up. I never had really punishments for, partially because I was the kid who would punish themselves when I would do something wrong.
I never got caught. Or at least my parents never told me that I got caught.
I always got caught.
Not me.
Always. But they didn't have to punish me because I always beat up on myself. So they're like, oh, well.
I'm like that now. There's nothing a boss or the wife or myself can do.
Right.
I got it myself. Don't worry.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah, so, I mean, I never was, you know, I never worried about that stuff. So, I would, you know, when I did start to have beer and other stuff in college, I never went overboard because it didn't have this mystique to it.
Sure.
It didn't have this.
I had a few nights in Cancun where I'd woke up in hallways and going, wow, how did I get here?
Yeah. But how did we even end up on that topic? Oh, I was asking
you. Yeah, like, my favorite drink. And I could tell you drinking stories for days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because here's another segue. They drink a lot in Star Trek, in Deep Space Nine.
Well, yeah. I
mean, a lot.
Well, you got Quark's Bar. You got to keep it in business.
The Quark's Bar, but even like, okay, this is the second episode we'll talk about, but the negotiations. They're all drinking around the table. Yeah. It's like Mad Men, but in space.
You got to loosen people up, man.
You got to, I guess so. Yeah. I guess so.
It's like Mad Men.
Mad Men in space. It's fantastic. So, yeah. Should we dive into the episodes?
Let's do it. So we're starting off with Battle Lines.
We're starting off with Battle Lines. I will just put this right off the bat. I think this is the heart of what Star Trek should be. The heart of what...
Do we do the description first, though?
Yes, we do.
I will try. So...
Do it.
So, Sisko... Kyle Paca comes to the station, who is Kyle Paca from the spiritual leader, basically the real leader of the Bajoran people.
We saw her in Emissary.
Yeah, so she's really the leader of the Bajoran people.
Yeah.
And she comes to the station because she knows in her head... for a purpose, but she comes to tell Sisko. She's mm-hmm. never left Bajor, hang out with Sisko and Kira.
Yeah.
And wants to go to the Gamma Quadrant. So they go to the Gamma Quadrant. She wants mm-hmm. to see the wormhole. She wants to get through that wormhole. And go over there.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go right back. She says, no, bro.
No, bro. What's
and then all of a sudden there's some kind of signal and they have to go investigate because Kyle Pack is like, bro, go check it out. And they go, they crash on a planet, and the planet is a penal colony. I just wanted to say penal. And so these people on this planet are at war with each other, and they can't die. They can die, but they reanimate immediately.
Which is part of their punishment.
Which is part of the punishment. So they've died hundreds of times, each person, and that's part of the punishment.
Yeah.
When Sisko crash lands on the planet, Kyle Paca dies, and therefore she's one of these cats now.
Yeah.
And then comedy ensues. Just kidding. And the whole episode is basically them trying to get these two factions to work. To talk.
To unite. And so fascinating things about this.
How was that rundown?
That was pretty good. That was solid. I'm gonna give the rundown an 8 out of 10.
Oh, so I'm an emissary. Good.
You know why? You left out some stuff.
Oh crap.
No, you didn't. I'm looking at my recap. I think you got it all.
Okay.
You got it all. I think, okay, so this episode.
Directed by Paul Lynch, his sixth episode of Deep Space Nine.
And
his last.
Guest actor, Jonathan Banks, from 48 Hours Fame.
Beverly Hills Cop, right?
Beverly Hills Cop. And Breaking Bad, Mike Ehrmantraut.
Nice.
From Breaking Bad. Which, I never realized how much he kind of has the look of... Sly Stallone. He's got the same eyes as him, which is why I'm like, I knew it wasn't Sylvester Stallone, but I'm like, is it possibly his brother? Because I know his brother's an actor.
Yeah, he is.
So the wonder that sounds more like Bullwinkle.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a terrible, terrible voice person.
I usually am, but I like to think I'm good.
The only one I can
in my head
do
I'm
is,
good.
I can do Smeagol, and I can do from Lord of the Rings.
Okay,
and I can do Chewbacca. That's about it.
I can't even do those.
Anyways. So, heart of Star Trek to me, because we're talking about... These are really stories they're telling about humanity, right? I mean, here you have two warring factions who have been at war with each other for as long as they can remember. They don't even really know why anymore. They just know they hate each other. And they don't trust each other. And there's nothing they can do to trust each other. And even though... they can't die. They keep fighting. Like, what's to be accomplished at that point, right?
Exactly.
Like, you're just killing each other just so you can come back. So you're just inflicting pain on the other one just for the sake of inflicting pain. There's no way to win. There's no way to lose. You're just hurting people to hurt people.
Right.
It's a very much a humanity story.
Sure.
So it's fascinating. I totally dug that. The religious aspects were pretty heavy in this episode.
Yeah.
What was the thing? I wrote down something about religious aspect to giving of candy. I don't know what that means.
Oh, that's
my notes.
So at the beginning of the episode, first of all, the very beginning of the episode, Kira's reaction to her file from Dakot.
Yes, solid. That was a good one. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she's
a minor resistance member.
Yeah.
Yes.
But so at the beginning of the episode, the Kai walks up to O'Brien right before the runabout.
Yeah.
and says, "You have a daughter, don't you?" He goes, "Yeah."
Oh, yeah.
She takes off the necklace, places it in his hand, yes. And then closes his hand for him.
Yes. So let me stop you right there, because then I saw that happen and I said, we were watching the episode and I go, I hate how TV shows all do that. The way she handed the piece of jewelry to him and then folds his hand over on it. I say, that never happens in real life. And
I interrupted and said, you know, I remember when I was younger and went to church that you would get a candy from somebody and they'd play it in your hand and close your hand like that's supposed to be a secret or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Where yeah. I said it absolutely did happen for, maybe it's an old folk thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start doing it, or me sooner than you.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. I remember that. I probably remember it more than it actually happened, but yeah. I could say that absolutely happened.
You know, what's fascinating is multiple times your upbringing and a religious background has come into this episode today.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From candy to alcohol.
Yeah. And the backstory of you being a real preacher and me being a fake one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. So anyways, that was an interesting thing to catch, and I appreciated that. So, you know, let me talk about this, though. The Kai enters the space station. First time off the planet, right?
Right.
Ever. Which is weird in a space-faring civilization. She's on a Cardassian station. Who have oppressed and hurt her people her whole life. Doesn't make a single comment about that. That was interesting to me.
Well, she's a very positive person, so maybe she's not focusing on the past anymore.
Right.
Maybe.
You just think, like, I think, like, a one-off comment, like, to think for so long they were up here looking down on us, and now we're up here, and I'm looking down on Bajor from this place, or, you know, something interesting like that. I don't know. It's just something I would
teach their own.
Yeah.
That never even crossed my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Came right up. It was interesting that it was never a point of discussion to me. I mean, first time off the planet, not even a hint of it.
Right.
So, this episode does give greater depth to Kira, which we can fully admit, I've been a hater.
You have been a hater.
I've been a hater.
She's annoying. She's annoying right now. I can understand that.
But you know why? The only reason I've really disliked her so far is I've only seen the emotion of anger from her. Right. That's it.
Well, wouldn't you be angry after years and years and years and years of people just desecrating your own species?
Yes. No, don't get me wrong. Yes. But that doesn't mean I don't care for it constantly.
Fair.
But today, you know, in this episode, when she thinks the Kai dies, she breaks down in mourning and is crying, and is just not in a good place. She's in a state of mourning. She's in shock, right?
Because the Kai is everything that's right with Bajor.
Exactly. So it was absolutely fascinating that you finally get to see this other side to Kira, and it was kind of her focus, which is so fascinating because she was angry, right? Then the Kai dies, and then she goes to the state of mourning. The Kai comes back, and then she's angry again, right? Because then she's talking about, why aren't you defending yourselves, and why aren't you doing this? So it's almost like having this strong spiritual leader has given her permission to not be vulnerable, right? But once they're gone, it's kind of all on you, so you kind of got to own your feelings. And I don't know. That's kind of what I thought about with that.
She exists, like, much like with Emissary.
She exists there.
She exists in war.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've dealt with it for that long, it'd be a hard place to get out of, man.
Yeah. And, like, Kira spending all of her time saying, I'm not a violent person. I don't want to be, you know. But that's what she knows.
Yeah, that's what she knows. That's all she knows.
So, you know, you can say you're not something, but at the heart of it, when you are, it's like the equivalent of someone who's like, I'm not a gossiper, but that Rob is really a jerk, isn't he?
He is, though.
And, like, the person who always starts their conversation
with, is it gossip if it's true?
I'm not one to say bad things about people. But you're constantly saying bad things about people. You know those people.
But that lady's a hoe.
Faux show. So it's interesting. You know, Kira's in the same boat. I'm not a violent person, but I totally believe that they should be violent.
Yeah, we should totally whip some butt.
We should totally whip some booty.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Also interesting how, at the end of the story, they didn't change anything.
No.
And I like that.
I do too.
That's real.
Yeah, it's real. And they had the opportunity to change something, but then the guy just wanted to turn it as a weapon against us.
And you didn't think that at first,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so what, you know, what the what comes up is Bashir said he's a way... They're getting reanimated through nanites, and they're just basically able to reanimate them. Yeah. And Bashir said he could come up with a way to make it so that they actually can die.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, it seemed like the leader of the one group was like, cool, let us die. Mm-hmm. But then it turns out he just wanted to make his enemies die, and Sisko's like, screw that, we're out.
Yep, exactly. So it's fascinating. Yeah, it's interesting, too, because at the one point, they bring them together to try to come to a ceasefire.
Right.
And they even in that moment where they're like, I can get you off this planet, you can all be free, you can resettle, they just look at the other with distrust. They're thinking, so there's so much hate and so much loss of hope in them that they just can't see past themselves.
Right.
Story of humanity.
Yeah.
Can't see past ourselves, right? We constantly talk about how we're going to do better, but then we immediately fall into the same trap over and over and over again. And that's what these people do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, so the Kai decides to stay because she feels called there.
Yep.
Right? To help heal that
her
people.
Prophecy.
Yeah, her prophecy was to go heal these people. Fascinating that basically the leader of the entire planet just abdicates her position.
Yeah. Well, you brought it up when we were watching it. So the Kai leaves the planet, who is the real leader, because they have the provisional government, and there's probably a president or something like that, but all things show that the Kai runs the place.
Yeah.
And so she comes up with, like, two guys.
Yeah.
There's a lot to leave with Sisko and nobody but the Federation and one Bajoran.
Right.
And then they send one scout ship.
One scout ship. Two people.
Rather than the entire Bajoran fleet.
The Bajoran fleet and the Federation.
Again,
yeah.
I have escapism. But you're right when you point that out.
Yeah, I mean, you can do better, show. You can do better.
Yeah.
You know, just, it's always been little aspects like that that kind of pull me out of Star Trek a little bit.
Well, the one thing that in this episode that pulls me out, I'm with you, because how is it, and I think, did we talk about this before? How is it that a doctor can do so much? He can fly a ship. He can make sure the hull temperature is good.
Yeah.
He can fix a ship. But he knows every skilled position that's required. Like Odo, a couple episodes ago, where all of a sudden he would pilot a starship.
Yep.
I mean, for someone like Dax, it makes sense because she's lived, seven lives.
She's got all these different people in her.
That's one thing that always gets me is that all of a sudden these guys can jump from position to position.
Yeah. So, I thought about that a little bit more during the episode, and I was thinking about Bashir, right? He's a doctor. How does he know to work on computers? Okay, I'm a pastor, but I build computers. I know about computers, right? I'm a pastor, but here I am putting all the sound equipment together so we can do a podcast. So,
right.
I think the way to look at it is we think of their computers and their technology is so super advanced, but if they grow up with it, they know it like the back of their hand.
Well, I mean, there could be that they required basics of piloting and this, but Odo didn't have that basics.
Right. So how is he qualified, right?
Yeah. And, a doctor, to me, would be easier transition to fixing a computer because of what they have to fix in the human in a body.
Right.
But, you know, they have skills, and it shouldn't be so easy to translate to another.
You would hope.
Yeah.
Would hope. I mean,
nitpick. I get it.
It's a nitpick. It's a nitpick.
But it does, like, really, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. Come on. Another thing that stood out in this episode to me, going back to Kira, she was throwing a fit because they weren't defending themselves.
Right.
And he goes, what's the point of defending yourself if you can't die anyways? Like, what are you fighting for? Just let him come and kill us so that we can just be reanimated and come back to life.
Yeah, we stop fearing death. I mean, there's got to be pain involved, but which is why they're fighting probably in the first place.
Right.
But you're right.
That's just an interesting thought process. It reminds me of there's a show on Netflix called Altered Carbon.
I've heard of it.
Where it's basically all about how when you die, your consciousness gets loaded down into a stack, which is in your neck. And that can be taken out and placed into another body.
Hmm.
So you can basically live forever and ever and ever. Now, of course,
Like in Picard.
Oh, cool. But in this show, basically the wealthy are the ones who are doing, they get the nicer bodies. The poor people get the beat up, crappy bodies. But anyway, since there's no fear of death anymore, they treat the bodies like garbage. They just abuse them. You know, they have like these brutal combat arenas where they just destroy each other and hurt each other. And like, there's this lack of respect for life, which is same thing in this episode. They don't respect life at all. So how are you supposed to come to a compromise? How are you supposed to come to a ceasefire when you don't even care about your own life anymore?
Right. Yeah.
I don't care about myself. Why would I care about you?
Yep.
Why would I care about ending this war?
Makes sense.
So I appreciated that.
Yeah. But what a punishment.
That is a good punishment.
Good is subjective, but what a punishment. I mean,
it's like a version of hell.
Yeah,
right?
Here's what's going to happen if you die. We have proof that, because you say hell, people don't believe in it in general.
Yeah.
We're going to make you die over and over again through weapons, knives, illness, whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
that culture is a bunch of dicks.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty dark. It's actually kind of more similar to probably a purgatory, right?
Yeah. Because
you can't die, but you're not in a good place either.
Right.
But you're not really in a bad place. So you're kind of, you're just there.
Yep.
Final thing that I noticed in this episode, it was all about the Prime Directive, right? Like, oh, if I take these people off the planet, we're violating the Prime Directive. They left their technology on the planet.
It exploded after they left. That's what I told myself in the head.
Yeah, it's just always interesting to me. Like, they're gonna use your tech. They're gonna backward, whatever it. What do they call that? Backward engineer it.
Yeah,
yeah. I just thought about that.
Well, I mean, you also mentioned while we were watching it about how you think Sisko's not the guy you mess with.
Right, he really isn't, right? Because Kira starts to yell at him. He yells at her. There's a couple times where he...
Well, even with Bashir, called him out and said, whoa, we're just... It's like a jailbreak. And Sisko's like, shut your mouth.
I'm in charge.
Yeah, I've got this. These people have paid for their crime over and over again, and I think we'd be all right.
Yeah, we'd be cool. Federation would understand.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when they're in the runabout, this is a fun thing for me. Can they give Jadzia better hair?
It's always poofy.
It's very poofy.
It's got the bump it.
Yeah.
Bump it. Yeah, it does have the bump it. That's what your wife said last week, and now I just can't get it out of my head.
Yep.
Yeah, she does have interesting hair.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, so, I don't know if they had to have done this intentionally with getting rid of the Kai.
Yeah.
Because it sets up so much to come at the end of the season and in the future.
Because she's gone.
Because she's gone. So, this is actually a pretty important episode, I think, in the long run.
In the grand scheme of things.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Good episode.
But no Odo and Quark.
No Odo and Quark throughout the whole episode?
The whole episode.
Okay. So, we have another episode where characters are missing. But their absence isn't necessarily felt here. It feels natural.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's okay. I'm cool with it. I've made peace with that.
All right.
All right.
We going over to Storyteller?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's go over to Storyteller. Storyteller. Three stories in one on this episode.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
You have Jake and Nog.
Yep.
You have the negotiations ongoing.
Yep.
Then you have O'Brien and Bashir.
Yep.
Two of the storylines on the side together.
It's called Storyteller, so I'm going to have to guess that the A story is supposed to be the O'Brien and Bashir one.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Because I was reading up on this a little bit, and I didn't really take much out of it beforehand, but... Yeah. The story was originally pitched for season one of Next Generation.
It wasn't now.
Yeah. And for a while, I was trying to figure out which story, but the episode's called Storyteller, so I'm guessing it's that. That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Another Morn sighting.
Morn. All right. Let's sum this episode up. Let's do it. Let's do it. And when I say let's, I mean Rob.
Crap.
Sum it up.
All right. So, A storyline. Bashir and...
O'Brien.
O'Brien have to go to a...
Bajoran village
where they believe... Well, this guy called the... Oh, crap. I just totally left the name of me for who he was.
We're going to lose so many viewers because of this.
Yeah, so many viewers. So this guy has to tell a story and get the encouragement of the villagers to push away the Delrock, which is this monster that's always threatening to destroy the village every year.
Okay.
And... through it, the guy dies. That's why Bashir was sent there. And they name O'Brien as his successor. Mm-hmm. Through the whole story, O'Brien botches it. And then the real apprentice actually comes over and takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Story B is Nog and Jake with this delegation from another Bajoran faction that's going to be on the verge of civil war.
Mm-hmm.
the leader of one group is a young 13, 14 year old girl and versus an adult. And the story is she's young, thrust in this position, probably overcompensating because she is young. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then she kind of gets to know Jake and Nog, and Jake and Nog actually help her figure out her discussion issues.
Figure out the problem. Yeah. Yeah. So that ties on the negotiations at that point.
Yep.
Which is interesting because later on in the episode, she says to Sisko, the commander, she says, I was friends with them so I could get to know more about you.
Right.
So it's like, was their friendship real and sincere?
I think it turned into that.
Yeah.
Especially when they started laughing. Okay. So Nog decides to play a joke on Jake in the long run. But what he said was, we're going to go steal Odo's bucket that he sleeps in.
Yeah.
Odo is a changeling, which has to return to his natural state every 16 hours.
Which is goo.
Which is goo. And sleep in his bucket.
Mm.
So Nog pretends to take the bucket.
Yeah.
Accidentally spills it on Jake, and it's a goo, and Jake's scraping, Odo, scraping it off of him. But it was actually a food.
Yeah.
And then they started laughing. I think that's when the girl bonded with him.
That's when she bonded. Okay. She could be a kid for that one moment.
Yep. Absolutely.
And she hasn't been able to be a kid.
Yep.
So, yeah, three storylines going on, which is, I think it's one of the first times so far in this show that they've had multiple story. They've had small subplots.
They've had A and Bs.
They've had A and Bs, but they haven't had, they haven't been deep A and Bs. These could all have been self-contained stories on their own episodes.
Yeah.
Yet somehow they managed to kind of pull it off.
Right.
To a large extent, they're having so much in one episode.
So in the beginning of the episode, it starts off with Sisko assigning O'Brien to go on this mission. And O'Brien's going, are you sure? Can I do something else?
Right.
And then you find out it's because he doesn't want to go with Bashir.
Yeah.
And because he finds him annoying. And everyone, Nick and I both laughed.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yep.
I mean, again, I think this is a cool thing to add in here because for as much as humanity has evolved, it doesn't mean you still like everyone.
Yeah,
right?
You could still get annoyed.
That's a really important point. You know, he had Next Generation where there's no conflict between the human characters. So they never really got annoyed with another one.
Right.
So it's nice to see, you know what? You know, we can still be evolved in a space-faring civilization that craves peace, but still think Bashir is a jerk and annoying.
And with O'Brien in the storyline, how the hell did this village survive the occupation?
Right. Untouched, unscathed.
Unscathed. And they were able to go through this every year through the occupation for however long it was.
Okay.
I know it said, was it on a moon? I think they said.
Where they were at?
Yeah. Or was it actually on the planet?
I think it was on Bajor.
Was it on the planet?
It was on Bajor.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That even makes it less sense now.
That makes less sense. Also, okay. I might have zoned out at this part. Did they explain what the creature was?
It was, yes, they did.
I might have been taking notes.
It was created by a fragment of an orb. Because the village was filled with so much hate and anger, so it found a way to unite them, and it took their positive energy, it created it from their negative energy, and then through the storytelling uniting of that, they then positive energy sent the Del Rock away.
So I originally thought when we were watching this episode, you know, they've done this on Star Trek before where there's this one being who can, who protects everyone and saves everyone, right? And they can't explain what they're actually protecting from. Turns out it's a hologram. It wasn't ever even there in the first place. This person just had an ego and wanted to be number one in charge. I thought they were doing that with this episode. But it turns out, no, they weren't.
Nope, not at all.
The guy really did serve a role. He wasn't there because of his arrogance or whatever, but... So that was interesting. Also interesting that O'Brien was almost murdered by a guy and then immediately turns around and says, hey, let's put you in charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Very interesting.
Very forgiving.
Very forgiving.
An Irishman that forgiving.
But they've advanced, my friend.
Absolutely.
Humanity has advanced. So that was an interesting point. What else stood out?
So another thing that makes kids seem real. Jake and Nog are sitting... On the promenade, upper deck, and Odo comes over to him and says, guys, move along, and they get up. Odo walks away, and they kind of look.
Right.
And he gets down. Nog gets right back in position, and Jake kneels down.
They sit right back down.
Totally me.
Gosh.
That would have been totally me. That still actually might be me to this day.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we all do that. You know, these relationships feel much more real.
Yeah, absolutely.
These people feel real.
Yep.
It's not like Wesley Crusher on the Enterprise. Shut up, Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley.
It's not like that.
No, but that was the best.
It really was. It's just... And I'm trying to think back to 93 when this came out. What sort of characters felt as real as they did, right?
That's like a long time ago, man.
It was a long time ago, right? You still had Next Generation on. Science fiction. I would say against science fiction at that point in time, did the characters feel as real as they did in this? And I'm trying to think of some of the science fiction movies back from the early 90s, and I really can't.
Yeah, I got nothing for you.
I don't think science fiction was huge in the early 90s for the cinema. I could be wrong. Right. I don't know. I'll have to Google it later.
Google it.
I could be wrong. The only thing I can think of for science fiction right now is Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Good Do you Lord. Remember that movie? Terrible movie.
Good Lord.
Terrible movie. That was like 95, though.
Yeah.
But I can't think of anything.
No.
Star Trek movies were coming out.
That was kind of the quiet spot from 91 to 94.
Right. So I don't know what was out at that point in time.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers was 97.
Starship Troopers.
Would you like to know more? But yeah, so sci-fi. Well, even right now, sci-fi isn't really, it's not like a main pop culture thing.
I don't think it ever will be, but it yeah. But I don't know why the costume designers felt the jumpsuits and Jake's weird clothes were necessary.
Yeah, they're...
Oh, it's painful.
They're a little distracting.
Yeah, it's so painful.
It is very painful. They're not great.
No, that was... And that was through this whole... Yeah.
The whole series?
Yeah.
Always like wearing jumpsuits.
Bad upholstery.
Oh, dear. That's not
good. Yeah. I mean, the uniforms look great, but then the civilian clothes, you're like, come on.
Yeah, they're not great.
No.
They're not great. I guess the whole point is to show how much style has evolved.
To nothing, essentially. We don't need a style.
We don't need a style. Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
But wouldn't they just be wearing beige clothing then at that point?
You got to have some color.
You got to have some.
And they got some bright-ass colors in this thing.
They do. They really do. So that stood out. What else was in there that I really liked? When they were all sitting together, where Jake and Nog were sitting together, and they were with, I can't remember her name, the leader.
Yeah.
And like, do you ever ask your dad for help? Yes. Yes. And does it ever work? Yes. And then Nog, no. I love that. Like,
yeah.
That's a great line.
Poor Rom.
I love that line. Poor Rom. So fantastic.
Yes. Well, no.
Yeah. Accurate depiction for kids, though, right?
Yep.
Yeah, no matter what the advice is, most of the time, kids won't take it.
So my question for you, is there anything you didn't like about this episode? Because you said you liked it.
I did. Let me think.
I can go.
Yeah, go.
There's a lot of similarity with this one and Negus.
Yes.
Because you had the apprentice thing, or son in that case.
Chosen didn't want to be. Well,
Chosen wanted to be.
Wanted to be.
But then they kind of... did the little head fake and said, oh, Brian or Quark in that instance.
Yeah, it was a riff off of Negus, yeah.
And the Del Rock scenes, for me, were just painful.
Which ones?
Like when they're fighting the Del Rock, it was just painful for me.
Yeah, okay.
It was painful.
Yeah, that was not great. That was not great.
Other than Jake's clothes. That was painful.
Jake's clothes were painful. I guess the part I didn't... So this is funny, because this episode subverted my expectations in that the being was an actual real thing, right? But part of me wanted it to have, like, the science fiction understanding. Like,
well, it did, because it was part of the orb.
Right, but, like, I wanted, like... There's one point in the episode, they're like, well, how did the rocks explode? There's no trace of anything here. Well, it would have been great if there was, like, an explosive planted there. And
I thought that would have been lazy.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that would have been lazy writing this to have it. It was, don't get me wrong, I think I was less of a fan of this episode than you are. But
it was not, we'll get to that in the rankings.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I think in the long run, I think it was better to make it this, if it's a manifestation of their psyches.
Right.
Then let's just leave it a manifest, it's able to do it because it's an orb, it's unexplainable.
Yeah. You know what they didn't do, though, in this episode, either? Here's what I didn't like. They started with the exploration of Bashir and Julian's... Not the same person. Bashir and O'Brien's relationship. And they didn't really do anything with it in this episode.
Good. Because you don't get unannoyed with somebody that quick.
No, you don't. But it's just fascinating that that was such a central focus, and then they just left that.
It's your foot in the door is what it is.
Okay.
You don't got your whole body in the door. You just got your foot in the door.
I guess that's a good point. That's real.
Yeah.
That's real.
I got news. Yeah. I mean, you just don't warm up to people that fast. And especially with Brian, he's older than Bashir.
That's a good point. He's got a family.
He's got a family. He's already annoyed by the guy.
Yeah.
So in one trip where he was already being annoyed by the guy again and again and again.
Yeah. He served with a crew where no one had an ego.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then he gets on this ship and here is
Bashir's all ego, unwarranted ego
all the time. Unwarranted, really though? Is it unwarranted?
Maybe.
So, well, no, that's because we haven't really seen him do anything.
Well, he that one episode where he bragged to Kira about bringing that dude back to life.
Yeah, that's true.
I know, I amazed myself.
Yeah,
what a douche.
Yeah, that was true. But we haven't seen anything on screen.
No, not really.
Not yet, but that's okay.
Nice one punch and gets knocked out. I saw that in whatever episode. Dex.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, super easy to knock out.
Yep.
I wouldn't punch a woman. Sexist.
Chivalry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, one thing never mind. I can't say it. So we got the episodes playing on in the background here. And I just one of the things I noticed from the last episode is how much like the Kleons, their outfits look. The aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
battle
a good lines. Point.
Yeah. So, yeah, interesting.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
Slightly Kleon vibe.
Yep.
But that's just because the episode's on in the background.
Yep.
And frankly, the problem is I don't have much more to say about this episode.
No,
it wasn't bad.
No.
It wasn't great. It was just there.
Yeah.
So far, I'm finding... Okay, so overall, so far, we have, what, 4 episodes left in this season? There's 16 episodes?
I think there's 19 episodes in the season.
19 episodes. We're on 13.
I think so.
So we have
six
episodes left. It still feels like it's trying to find its place,
The show. Season one.
It's season one. Yeah. They're getting there. They're finding some stuff. They have some really good guest stars in this season.
Right.
So far. Really good.
I think Iggy Pop comes in pretty soon, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question. Were they really good guest stars at this point? Well, I guess Jonathan Banks would have been because he was from...
Yeah, they're B-listers, but...
Yeah, exactly. They're not... Yeah, and what's his name? Inconceivable.
The
guy
from
Sean. Last, yeah, yeah. So,
people that you know.
People that you know. And if you don't know, now you know.
There you go.
All right, rankings?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. I can go first today
sure.
if you want.
Fire.
Battle lines. Like I said, this is the heart of Star Trek. Really explores humanity. Dug it a lot. 9.
Nice.
It's up there for me. Doesn't mean I don't find it with its flaws, but the heart, like what it represents to science fiction and Star Trek ranks it higher for me.
Okay.
Gives it good vibes.
Battle lines. I wrestle with battle lines a little bit. My instinct says 7.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going with for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Feeling like you want to go lower?
Higher is where I'm kind of want to do it, but I'm struggling with that
right
now.
Well, you don't know. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. And then we got Storyteller.
Storyteller. You want to go first on Storyteller?
Sure.
5.
Boom. I was going to say 5.
Oh, matchies.
It's not that it was a bad episode. It was just average.
Yeah, well, 5 is our...
Five is our average.
5 is our... Okay.
Yeah. Average episode. So, there we go.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Battle lines I struggle with a little bit just because I don't know. I struggle with it.
I think it's because what I said, like this whole idea, there's multiple stories in there that could have been fleshed out and been their own story.
Right.
So they were still good combined, but if you fleshed it out into its own episode, could it have been much better? I think it could have.
Well, yeah, with Battle Lines, Michael Piller said he was actually pretty unhappy with the way it aired.
Really?
The longer version was better.
Okay.
And then he wanted to see more repercussion for what would happen.
Oh, from their time on that.
And even Storyteller with a 5, I feel bad because there's some great character interaction in there. But my Del Rock stuff still bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I like the B story more than I like the A story, that's for sure.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I definitely like that. I feel like any time they focus on the relational dynamics between Sisko and his son, that excels, too. And... I mean, yes, it's not necessarily the point of this one. It's not about the relationship between Sisko and Jake, but There's a little bit, right?
Because no, absolutely.
Jake loves his dad so much and trusts his dad so much that's able to push this deal forward.
Yep.
So I dug that. I dug the compromise they found, yep. right? The opportunity thing, the rules of acquisition.
The rules of acquisition.
And rule number 9 came into play.
And it's nice that they actually made Nog valuable in that aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's part of me that's struggling with Nog a little bit. I get, like, he's kind of a goofy guy, but his dad is Rom, so... Yeah,
he's younger.
And he's so younger, he's still trying to find himself.
His dad is younger, plus he's an adolescent.
Yeah, yeah. So I did the other day I was kind of looking into some character stuff, and I did see some... Like, the more I'm watching this, the more I realize I don't remember about the series.
Well, that's good, that's good.
There's some stuff about... Nog that I had completely forgot.
Don't
that
read
I
it. Don't let it happen. Just let it happen naturally.
Just let it. Just let it happen. Just let it happen. Don't fight it.
Yeah, don't fight it, man. Don't get too far ahead because the journey might be better or worse depending on what you read.
Right. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I mean, what else we got to say?
I think that's about it.
This might be our shortest episode.
It might be the shortest episode.
I think that's okay, though. Not all of them have to be 55.
55 might be too long.
55 might be too long.
Yeah.
42.
42. 43? 40,
40s. We should shoot.
The 40s.
We should shoot from mid-40s.
Yeah.
40 for 40.
Yep.
And we still need a name.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that.
We didn't even talk about that.
We're not running with the Nick and Rob?
We could just do the it's Rob and Nick.
Is it?
I put you first.
No, you should.
You're the headliner.
That. No.
You're the headliner.
No.
Rob and Nick Hour.
No.
On the body of Jed Sia.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
Yeah. And if you look at our little logo, Jed Sia's bot, Rob is Jed Sia, and I'm Cisco. Do. I like it. It was just because I couldn't find a good enough pic. All the pictures I could find with two crew members, they were spaced really far apart, so when you put them in the thumbnail mode, it would cut off their heads. So really it was just the best picture I could find now, and yeah. I photoshopped our heads onto the characters, so I'll keep looking at it.
All right,
we'll keep working on our logo. I did use the DS9 font in it.
I got to get that in Word.
I Googled it. I found that.
I type everything in that
There was font. A website that had all the Star Trek fonts on it.
And really?
Yeah. Like, it told you the name of them.
Does it come complete with virus?
No, it just told you the name of them. So then you would go to the Google, and you'd type in the name of that font. Okay. And then you get the virus.
Okay.
Yeah, the virus comes later.
I'm pretty sure I got those fonts years and years ago, and then also got the virus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got the Corona 17 virus.
Yeah, exactly. Not good. Not good. Well, that's it, folks. All right. We are done. Cue dramatic music.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Just you, that one person.
We love you, one viewer. Yeah. All right, bye, all.